Welcome to the Women in STEM podcast that focuses on the intersectionality of science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. We focus on how we can amplify the voices of women in STEM and make them aware of the multiple different career opportunities that are available.
Hello, welcome to the Women in STEM podcast. Would you like to introduce yourself, please?
Hello, my name is Eric Doria. I am an actuary by profession. I'm based in Bristol, in the UK. I'm originally from Kenya, so I started off my career in Kenya and then moved to the UK for work. And I'm really looking forward to this conversation.
Great. Thank you for sharing a bit of your story. And I think before we get any of the viewers confused or lost, would you be able to explain briefly what Actuarial is?
I actually wanted to start off with that because it is something that is not widely known. And in fact, I often joke that part of my job is explaining what my job is, because whenever someone asks me what I do for work, the next question is, what is that? So I'm quite used to that. But just for the benefit of the audience, I work as an actuary. So the field where I work in is actuarial science. And that's a field that applies mathematical and statistical methods to assess risk within the financial services industry. And more specifically, at least the traditional sectors would be insurance and pensions. Although nowadays we are sort of venturing out into other fields. So, for example, I do know that this year, for the first time, we had people sit a banking qualification. So we are trying to spread our wings. Generally, financial services, applying our mathematical knowledge to assess risk, and with that, understanding the risks and helping the people running these businesses to make sound decisions.
And can you share a bit more of your journey and what drew you to this field? And how has your passion for mathematics and science shaped your career?
I love science in general, first of all. So before, if I wasn't an actuary, I would have studied medicine. So, but then I decided to go into actuarial because I found it to be a very interesting field. You know, similar to very many people, I also wasn't aware what it was. And I just found out what it was shortly after I finished my school. And then I was fascinated that, you know, you could actually use maths and statistics and all those nice, interesting subjects to deal with real world problems and trying to solve those problems. And so that's the main reason why I opted to study science. So I did my undergraduate studies. So I got my undergraduate degrees in actuarial science. So I did this back in Kenya. And while I was studying, I was also pursuing professional exams by the Institute and Faculty of Actuaries here in the UK. And so as I went through that process, I sort of built a better understanding and a better appreciation for what actuarial science is. And even till today, I'm still learning quite a lot. And so, going back to my journeys, after my undergraduate studies, I started working immediately after. Worked for an insurance company in Kenya, which actually had a presence in a few other African countries. So that helped me at least see the business from, you know, within a different context, not just in Kenya. So that was really helpful. And so I was there for around 2.5-3 years. And then I got a scholarship, which is usually offered by the insurance regulator in Kenya to, before it was 5 actuarial students. But then when I got the scholarship, they increased the number to around 8 students. So I got a scholarship to study, to do my master's studies in London. So I did my master's in actuarial management in London. And then throughout that process, I kept pursuing my professional exams. And then once I finished my master's, I went back to Kenya, and then I qualified as an actuary in Kenya, working both at the regulator's office, and then I moved back into the industry shortly after. And then after that, I got an opportunity to move to the UK for, you know, more or less a similar role as an actuary here in the UK. So in a nutshell, that's been my journey.
And with regards to your role and your field, what are some of the key skills that you have to utilize on a daily basis? And could you mention some real-world scenarios to help the viewers get a quite in-depth picture of what it is that you actually do?
Yeah, so I guess in terms of the skills, a nice way to put it would be, at the very start of my career, the skills needed are very technical in nature. So needed a lot of maths knowledge, a lot of, you know, your Excel skills. Learned a lot of Excel during that time. Also got an added benefit would be, you know, you have some knowledge of programming, because a lot of the processes we have are getting automated. So if you have those skills that can help automate these processes, that's all the better. So at the start, it's more of like technical skills, the maths side of things. But then as you move along, you need to build other skills, especially because the people who make use of the output from my work as an actuary, they don't necessarily have to be actuaries, and they often are not actuaries. So you tend to find it's often accountants, it's often CFOs, CROs, so the chief risk officers, chief financial officers, chief operating officers. And so they would not necessarily understand the actuarial jargon, but then you need to be able to explain actuarial concepts to them in a way that makes sense. And in fact, as part of our qualification as actuaries, there is an exam that tests your communication skills. So I would say, as I've sort of gone through my career, that element has become more and more important, because even now I'm doing less of the technical work and I'm doing more of the people facing role, where I'm actually talking to clients. I'm not just talking to clients, but even internally, also helping to coach some of my colleagues as well. And for you to be able to do that, you need to be able to communicate, say, complex actuarial concepts in a very simple language. And then going to your second question on real world applications. So because I work within, now in my case, I work more specifically within the non-life insurance sector, which basically means insurance business that covers risks affecting anything that is not a human being. So this could be cars, so like your motor insurance, could be your home insurance for your house. But then even on a broader scale, there are other, could say, more, say, bigger risks. So for example, marine, yeah. So for, you know, the global logistics system relies on insurance, because, you know, well, a ship puts goods across the globe, there's a risk that either the goods arrive late or goods get lost or that kind of thing. So there is the part of the system that makes sure that people don't lose massively from these uncertain events is insurance. And working here in the UK has given me an opportunity to Lloyd's of London, which is actually one of the biggest global insurance hubs. Yeah, so a lot of the major global risks are often insured through the Lloyd's of London. And so, you know, whenever you see a major world event happening, yeah, so I could give an example of COVID, for example, a couple of years back, which had a massive impact on the global economy. Yeah, and even more specifically, because I love tennis, so I think one really famous example is Wimbledon, where they actually decided to cancel the event during COVID, and they got a massive payout from the insurance cover for that cancellation. So some of those events are more or less what I do on a day-to-day basis, where we often think of, like, you know, if certain events take place, what are the potential losses? And because a lot of these risks and a lot of these potential losses are covered by insurance, we need to understand what the potential cost would be in case those events happen. So a lot of it tends to be very, you know, we do a lot of projections of the potential future events and a lot of predictions and that kind of thing. So a long answer, but I hope that helps.
I really like the Wimbledon example that you gave. And
yeah.
I'm very curious as to how you stay up to date with the current developments in your field and within the financial industry.
I think I'm in an advantage position because I work on the consulting side of actuarial, and with that I'm able to work with multiple clients. We do quite a lot of industry analysis and industry benchmarking, so by virtue of that I more or less have to keep up with whatever is happening by default. But then over and above that, because the industry is also quite integrated, news passes around quite quickly. So, you know, and also try to keep up with the news. So, for example, you know, the Financial Times or the Insurance Insider, some of the sites or the newspapers I tend to follow to more or less keep up with what's happening, at least within the insurance industry.
You've pursued machine learning during your studies. How do you envision machine learning transforming financial service sector, particular with your work?
So machine learning or artificial intelligence, there's quite a lot happening, and I think there's a massive opportunity to do a lot within, at least within the sector. But then also can be a bit of a challenge because you need to figure out how exactly, what sort of impact you want to make while taking advantage of these tools. And maybe to be more specific, some of the sort of the ideas or some of the things that at least the industry is thinking of in terms of leveraging would be issues to do with automation of processes, issues to do with improving the accuracy of projections you know, how we estimate our potential future events and so on. But then overall, it's all meant to help us get a bit more, a bit better in terms of how we assess our risks and how accurate we are. Yeah. But then in terms of, for actuaries specifically, this can enhance traditional models or traditional techniques which have been there for a long time. And first of all, there's the benefit of a massive volume of data which you can take advantage of. So for example, if you're pricing an insurance product, we have a lot more data which you can use to more accurately price a product based on someone's risk profile. Be a bit more specific around that. Although I do appreciate that there could be some, say, data integrity, data security, or data ethics issues there. But then that's also something that we're sort of trying to figure out, make sure that how we're using this data is ethical. And also beyond even insurance and within the financial services sector, machine learning and AI can help to optimize the customer experience. Yeah. So a good example is chatbots or more personalized financial advice. And I think for me, that's something that I'm actually more excited about, because with that, you're able to enhance that experience for the customer so that they're able to, one, access financial products in a much easier way. Yeah. Take advantage of these products in a very efficient manner. So I think a good example would be this insurtech firm called Lemonade, where if, say, you're taking up insurance cover for your car, you can do that within minutes on your phone. Yeah. So you have an AI algorithm that will do all the assessments and price the insurance for you. But then even when you get to the point of claiming, if you take photos of the, if, say, you get into a car crash or something, something similar that, you know, if you take your photos and give the algorithm some information, it should be able to process the claim almost instantaneously and even pay your claim within minutes. Yeah. So those are some of the things that personally I am very excited about in terms of making these products really easy to use, because historically they've not been easy to use. I've never met, often the joke in the insurance sector is that the insurance is sold and not bought. And what that means is, you know, it's on the insurance company to sell the product. So it's not for the consumer to actually look for the product and buy it. Now, of course, unless they have to by law, but if we can make these products easier to consume and even enjoyable to consume, that would be great. Because I do believe there's a lot of value that comes through these products.
And with regards to your career path and all the experience that you've had, I'm pretty sure a lot of the listeners would be quite curious about this career path and might even be considering pursuing it. Do you have any advice or words of wisdom as to what reflections you have from your own career and what you wish somebody had taught you at the beginning?
Quick break. Before we get back to our conversation, I want to remind you to follow, rate, and review the Women in STEM podcast on whatever streaming platform. Your support really helps us to reach more listeners and continue to bring inspiring stories and valuable insight. Don't forget to share this episode with your friends and colleagues who might be interested in learning a bit more about women in STEM. Also, make sure to check out our new LinkedIn page, the Women in STEM podcast, where you get to see some of the latest advancements in technology and learn more about women in STEM. And please make sure to check the bio to see where you can vote for the Women in STEM podcast.
Yeah, I think I'm very lucky because I got to actually engage with people in the industry before I started my journey. So I knew what I was getting myself into. In fact, it is actually something that I would urge anyone to do if they're thinking about pursuing an actuarial career, because it is very fulfilling. Yeah, it is very, very enjoyable, very interesting, very challenging. The road to get there, however, can be a bit tough. Sometimes, you know, can take even up to 10 years for you to qualify. So I would say the first thing would be for someone who's considering taking up an actuarial career would be, I would say the first thing would be competence. Yeah. So if you like maths, you know, if you're very, maths is, so if you say if you're studying engineering, or if you're studying statistics or even mathematics or actuarial science, that's usually a very good first step. So with that, you should be able to get through the qualification process at least, because it can get quite difficult. The other thing I would advise would be pursuing the professional qualification as early as possible. Because that's often what sets people apart, at least within the industry. And it is what all the student actuaries are pursuing as well. Not only does it set you apart, but then it also gives you the skills you need to be a good actuary once you're done. The other thing I would actually advise or encourage would be the soft skill side, yeah, because that tends to be an area that many actuaries tend to neglect, because at the end of the day, the work we do touches on people who most of them are actually not actuaries. So if you're able to digest and synthesize the work we do and present it in a way that makes sense to the end user, who more often than not is not an actuary, That will be very helpful as you progress in your career. And I would say maybe the last thing would be to get a good mix of experience, as you know, if you decide to pursue the career, get a good mix of experience. So could be an industry role, so working within an insurance company, or could be a consulting role, for example, where I am now, where I'm working with multiple clients and you know, working to more project-based way within smaller teams, because also that helps you work with to learn how to work within a team and to work with others, and building teams and organizing teams and running teams, because ultimately that's often as you progress in your career, that's what ultimately you'll have to do. Yeah, it will be more people rather than the maths. So that's what I would say.
And speaking on people and soft skills, throughout your academic career, you've held various leadership roles. How did these experiences influence your professional development, and what lessons have you learned from effective teamwork?
Yeah, so I think in terms of like leadership roles, a lot of them came up during my time as a student, so which I think was good because not only did it give me a lot of exposure to the industry, because we did a lot of collaborations with the industry players, but it also, and which again is a good thing, because that's also how I got to meet a lot of my mentors, for example, through those opportunities to network. But then it also taught me a lot of like very important skills that I try to put into practice today. One is again communication, another is teamwork, collaborating within teams, making the best use of taking the most advantage of the strengths of each individual person so that the wider team benefits even more. Yeah? Because with a team, the individuals working together, the outcome is always better than them working by themselves. So I got to learn that quite a lot. But then even now, I try to translate that in my current role, where I, again, work with teams. Yeah. So a lot of my work is very project based. So we're working in a project team. Yeah. Often doesn't have even more than 10 people. It's even rare to have a team that's more than 10 people on any one project. That gives a good opportunity to actually, learn how to work in teams, allocate tasks. While doing that, keeping an eye on the bigger picture, because at the end of the day, you also need to deliver something to the client. So achieving that balance is also quite important. Yeah. So making sure that things are done well on the ground, but then still keeping an eye on the bigger picture so that the overall team objectives are being met. So I would say that's actually something that I'm learning quite a lot in my current role, which is it's a really interesting experience.
And you mentioned how large part of your job is also kind of explaining what you do to other people. Would you say that you've noticed any common misconceptions about your job role? And also, I was wondering if you could paint a picture about your work environment and your industry with regards to it being in finance and mathematics. So is it very high paced? Do you have very harsh deadlines and are constantly on the roll working?
I correct me if I'm wrong, but there are two questions there on the misconceptions and on the sort of painting a picture of my day-to-day life. Wait, is that correct?
Yeah, just what the work environment is like.
Okay, so on the misconceptions, let's see. Maybe I would say, thinking back to my experience in Kenya, people often thought that we role is to cut profits as much as possible and make sure that the company doesn't report profits and things like that. But then for us, the objective is to make sure that the company is able to pay it, to meet its liabilities. So that I would say that would be a more specific misconception, especially from my experience in Kenya, where there was often quite a lot of challenge in terms of the work we did. It's a similar thing here in the UK, I would say, because here it's a much more complex market. There's a bit more appreciation for what we do. I guess maybe the other thing Yeah, the other misconception is that actuaries don't are very, say, introverted and prefer sort of behind the scenes role. Yeah, so they'd rather look at spreadsheets all the time. And granted, I'm pretty sure that actuaries who like that, and that's the beauty of the profession of being an actuary, because there are roles where you can't have that, where you're more of like a, behind the scenes. But then there are other opportunities where you get a chance to actually engage with people a lot more. Yeah, so maybe that's what I would say in terms of the misconceptions. And then in terms of the work environment, what I would say is a lot of you could say the experience relies on the overall seasons within the financial year. Yeah, so when it comes to the reporting season, it tends to get quite busy, and that's often the busiest time for us in the year, where we are helping our clients, or even if you're working within a company, where you're helping the company put together its financial reports, and that tends to be quite busy. So our work tends to be quite seasonal, yeah? And more often than not, the first 3 months of the year tend to be quite busy, because yeah, they're the financial reports. But then there are also regulatory deadlines which companies must adhere to. And so with that, we tend to do quite a lot of work within a few months. But then after that, yeah, it still can get quite busy, but doesn't get quite as busy. So even now, we're currently in the summer. So yeah, I would say I'm busy, but yeah, it's fairly, I'm able to have some work-life balance, which is nice. Which again is something that I think as an actuary you can have, especially after you qualify. You have very good experience at work, but then yeah, you won't always be working, crazy hours.
So you reflect on your journey and your accomplishments so far. What are you most proud of, and what legacies are you hoping to leave behind for future generations in your field?
Okay, that's a heavy question. But I guess in terms of achievements, definitely qualifying as an actuary is definitely up there. Yeah, took many years, and I remember when it finally happened, it was more of relief than first. I was relieved, and then I was joyful. Yeah. So I'd say that's probably the biggest. So yeah, my favorite achievement or biggest achievement. Though now, since that's behind me, I would say I'm quite happy in my current role, working with very smart people, which is quite fun, working on very interesting projects, which are challenging, getting to see the global, like getting to see a lot of these, especially within the insurance sector, getting to see a lot of global risks and global hot topics from my work, and seeing sort of the impact that my work plays in all of that. So that's quite cool. Yeah, so it's that in terms of achievements. In terms of legacy, I don't know. I just think just being a good actuary, being at least able to contribute as well to the actuarial knowledge in general could be, yeah, maybe pursuing some research work or something to try enhance the technical actuarial knowledge. But then I guess ultimately I would like to take a lot of the knowledge that I have back to my home country and help build that, at least play a part in building the financial services market in Kenya and in Africa. So I think the bigger picture, that would be what I would like to do. But it's yeah, it's it, that's down the road.
How best can people connect with you?
LinkedIn, if you search Eric Ndoria on LinkedIn, yeah, you can find me there. Yeah, you could also find me on Instagram, so Eric_Ndoria. Yeah, so yeah, that's where you can find me online, pretty much.
Thank you so much for your time, and thank you for coming on the Women in STEM podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. Thanks for the invite.
Listeners, if you've enjoyed this episode, please make sure to subscribe to this podcast on your favorite streaming platform, leave a review, and rating to help us reach more listeners, and follow our social medias, the latest updates and behind the scene content. Join us next week for another exciting episode. And until then, keep exploring the world of STEM and empowering women in STEM.